From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney. Scientists believe a massive glacial dam release recently occurred in southeast Alaska, but they probably would not have known about it if they had not been tipped off by an observant commercial fisherman. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on the latest mystery in Lituya Bay.
Jim Moore says Lituya Bay on the outer coast of southeast Alaska has always been a special place for his family. During the first day of the August Chinook season, the Sitka commercial fisherman was out in his boat with his two grandsons preparing to ride the flood tide into the bay to anchor up for the night. Instead, the current was flowing out the other way.
This event, you know, was pretty spooky.
The water was muddy, full of trees and other debris, and something that Moore hasn't seen since the 1970s, icebergs, as far as he could see into the bay, mostly refrigerator-sized and smaller.
We picked up a couple and put this thousands of years old ice into our cooler to keep our food on the trip.
Moore says it was too dangerous to fight the current to get into the bay.
The prudent thing to do was to leave the area.
So what happened? Lituya Bay is a place where Mother Nature has always had the upper hand. In 1786, for example, French explorer La Perouse lost two boats and 21 men trying to chart the entrance to the bay. Longtime southeast Alaska residents may remember the 1958 earthquake that killed five people. It also triggered a rockfall in the bay that generated one of the world's tallest tsunamis of at least 1,700 feet. But what happened to cause this latest mystery? Michael Loso, a geologist with the National Park Service, says satellite images taken just before and after the August event were key to solving it. First, he looked at the braided river delta between Lituya Glacier and Lituya Bay.
The active channels that normally carry meltwater from the glacier down to the ocean had been completely revamped. Pre-existing channels were gone and new channels had formed in other places.
Loso says they suspected Moore saw the aftermath of a glacial dam release. It's got a cool Icelandic name, Jokulap. And here's how it happened. Just above Lituya Glacier is Desolation Valley. In it, a 4-square-mile lake is collecting meltwater from other nearby glaciers. Lituya Glacier normally acts as a dam holding the lake's water in place. Loso says a colleague noticed Desolation Lake's water levels had dropped by as much as 200 feet.
And what that meant is now we had sort of the smoking gun for where did that water come from.
It likely found a path under Lituya Glacier. And it's a lot of water. I mean, a lot.
Roughly the average hourly discharge of the Amazon River, the biggest river in the world.
Loso says anyone camping on the delta would have witnessed a big, violent torrent of water pouring down on them over a day or so.
You would have had a little bit of time if you were paying attention to get out of the way. But if you didn't pick up on the signs of the rising river levels as the flood sort of began, that would be a deadly place to be.
He also believes that water levels throughout Lituya Bay would have risen several feet above the high tide line because of the Jokulap.
The biggest or one of the biggest to come out of this particular basin, and it's also one of the biggest that has happened in the state that we know of.
Loso says archived satellite images and previously reported observations suggest this wasn't the first time it's happened. Because of climate change, Loso says it's possible it's occurring at least once, perhaps more, each year now. Meanwhile, Jim Moore continues helping scientists by compiling the underwater data he's collected over the last five decades.
It would be interesting going back this coming year and seeing if there was any noticeable changes in that, because it's a lot of water that ran out there carrying a big load of silt or mud or something.
Loso hopes Moore's data will help them discover areas prone to underwater landslides, mini tsunamis, or any other secrets in Lituya Bay. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
In the past week, the Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation has announced at least 140 new cases of COVID-19 in Chivac, seemingly out of nowhere. KYUK's Greg Kim has this story on how Chivac developed such a large outbreak and what's being done in response.
Mayor Richard Tuluk suggested that the virus had already been in Chivac undetected for a long time before the explosion of cases over the last week.
Some of those first tests we did We found out that it was not travel-related, that it had been here quite a while, for quite some time.
YKHC Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges confirmed Tulloch's explanation for what happened in Chivac.
The people who get infected, especially this time of year, may think that they just have a cold. They may not think anything of it. They may feel safe because there haven't been any confirmed cases in their village, and they may not take the precautions that we know work, such as wearing a face mask and keeping our social circles small, which in some of our villages has allowed the virus to spread undetected.
In this scenario, Hodges says eventually someone gets tested, and then a process of discovery begins. YKHC travels to the village to conduct community-wide testing, which reveals how far the virus has spread. YKHC Communications Director Tiffany Zolkowski said COVID-19 testing was readily available at Chivac's health clinic for anyone that wanted one even before the latest outbreak. Mayor Tulloch said people are taking precautions seriously now, but it wasn't always the case. Even after Chivac declared a lockdown on October 12th, after the first few cases in the village, Tulloch says people were still visiting others.
There were still people out there going to other houses. They were allowing their kids to go visit their grandparents. A lot of people at that time were not following instructions, so that contributed to probably the spread of it a little more faster.
Tulloch said a few days ago, the village instituted a stricter lockdown. At this point, even residents of Chivac who traveled out of the village are not being allowed back in.
We're telling them to hold off until we get over this lockdown.
The village announced the stricter phase of the lockdown on radio and VHF. Now, Tulloch says almost everyone is following the instructions to stay home.
From the first one we did, it's a lot better.
Chivac resident Zakhar Levi is staying positive about the lockdown.
It's a good chance to catch up with the family all the time, staying in the house all the time.
Levi's little brother is one of the 140 people in Chivac who have tested positive for COVID-19. He says his brother is asymptomatic.
We try not to let it bother him too much. Usually he gets easily scared.
To keep his brother's mind off the virus, Levi says he's downloading fourth grade homework from various websites and helping his little brother work through it. Educating has become even more difficult under the latest lockdown. Chivac Superintendent Dave Lauji said teachers can't deliver paper work packets, so they're putting lessons and math problems on their classroom Facebook pages.
I don't think we're reaching them all, but we're trying to get as many as we can.
Lauji also says the school district recently received equipment from GCI to set up an intranet so students can exchange files with teachers without using any internet data, but he doesn't know how the district can set it up during the lockdown. As for play, kids are being told to do that from home as well. Earl Atchuk says his kids are sleeping more and talking on the phone more.
What they're doing is they're being on the phone in the evenings, talking like having a seven-way call or however way they're doing it right now, these younger kids. That's how they're keeping communication and keeping sane.
Despite the challenges of isolation, Mayor Tulloch says people must follow the instructions of the lockdown and stay home if the village is to combat COVID-19.
The risk of spreading that virus will be to a minimum or even can be stopped when everybody cooperates. For those people that may not be caring about the whole situation, I ask them to look at their own family and their kids or their parents that may be elders, and that they hopefully realize what they're doing is putting a risk to their family members.
Friday morning, YKHC announced that the state plans to send a team to Chivac to help Tulloch and other village leaders with emergency planning and quarantine response. Over 70% of the more than 1,000 people living in Chivac have been tested. Dr. Hodges said YKHC is also planning to send a team next week to perform more testing. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Independent U.S. candidate Elise Galvin took some swipes at Congressman Don Young at the debate for the state last night.
You've missed over 14% of your votes in your career.
In 48 years, sir.
We're not like other national forums. We're respectful here. We're civil.
Young, a Republican, defended his record. He accused Galvin of dancing around an answer. He said she was getting into things that she just didn't understand.
And what really bothers me the most is you bring that votes up twice now. I voted 30,000 times, and I have missed some votes. I'm actually 5,000 miles one way. And if you do get elected, God help us. But if you do get elected, you'll find out traveling back and forth is the hardest part about the job.
Debate for the state continues tonight with candidates for the U.S. Senate, the Republican incumbent Dan Sullivan and independent Al Gross. And you can stream it right here starting at 7 p.m.